Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Armchair Survivalist. My name is Kurt Wilson. I'm the Armchair Survivalist, and today is February. No, it's not. It's March 1st in the year 2020. And welcome to the show. If you go to armchairsurvivalist.com and scroll down, you will see everything that you can use to listen to me wherever you are in the world. In fact, I'm on nearly every podcast venue there is. Let's see. We got Stitcher, Anchor, TuneIn, Podbean, iHeartRadio. I'm on Google Play, Apple Play, whatever. There's so many of them that I don't even know about. And by the way, I was informed that I forgot to tell everyone that I'm on KYAH, 540 AM in Utah, 3 PM Sundays. Just to let everybody know that I totally forgot about that, kyah.net. And that was stupid of me to forget about that. So anyway, back to armchairsurvivalist.com. You scroll down. You can listen on your satellite system, Globalstar 3 satellite. In fact, if you scroll down on any of the pages on that website, you will see on the left times, you'll see the little satellite dish just going back and forth. To the right of that, you'll see in red, 24/7 live feed. That you click on either one of those links, and that'll give you a 24/7 live feed of Globalstar 3 satellite. You can listen to my chat room. You can listen on your phone. Those of you who don't have a smartphone and just have a real phone, you dial 641-741-0371. It's not toll-free, so 641-741-0371. Now, if you missed the show and you want to download it or listen to it, on the left-hand side, you'll see a little white nipper dog listening to the RCA Victor gramophone. You click on that. That'll take you to a page. It says the Armchair Survivalist Past Shows, and I have all the shows that I have done in the current year there. All right? You can download or listen to them there. Let's see. You can also, there's two links in a box. The one says, listen to my show Sunday in the chat room. We click on that, right? You go to the chat room. The other one says, listen 24 hours a day to the recent show of the Armchair Survivalist. Click here. If you do that, you will hear the most recent show at any time. So it doesn't matter. Anyway, that's how you listen to me. Now let's get some news out of the way here. Survival Enterprises, it's a store. It's my store, and we have it. It's in Hayden, Idaho, on Government Way, which is strange as hell. And everybody laughs when they know who I am and the fact that we're on Government Way. Anyway, we have a lot of stuff in the store, and you need to come in and look at it. You can also go to survivalenterprises.com or se1.us, and you can see what we have. You can also call us at 800-753-1981, and we'll be more than happy to walk you through anything that you want to buy or if you have questions on any of our products. We have a line of knives in here called Cold Steel. These are very high-quality knives. They're very strong knives. They're not pretty knives like Spyderco or other manufacturers. These are heavy-duty workman knives, and they're very high-quality. And we also carry a line of walking canes made by Cold Steel. That doesn't mean they have knives in the handles. No, they don't. But they're made out of things like closed-cell polypropylene, 11 layers of Kevlar or fiberglass. These things you can beat a grizzly to death with one of these, and there wouldn't be a scratch on them. And that's what they're for. They're for us old codgers who need a cane to walk around with, but can, we want to carry a weapon with us, but we don't want to carry a gun, or we can't. And it can be used in defensive tactics. They're very strong. I can't ship them. It's too expensive to ship. But if you're around the area and you happen to drop in, you can take a look at these things. I think you like them. All right, let's get into the economy. This week has been the worst week for the Dow. I knew it was coming. I told everybody. The thing that is happening is the supply chain, or lack thereof, is catching up. And businesses are knowing this. And when you listen to all of the talking heads on the stock market shows, you know, like CNN Business or Bloomberg or Fox News Business, you listen to them and they'll tell you the same thing. In the same breath, they'll say, well, the reality is, because there's zero manufacturing right now in China, and even if there was, nobody'd buy the stuff because it's probably contaminated. And in the same breath, they'll also say, but it's probably going to be better next week. I think it'll be better next week. All this week, they were saying, but I think it'll be better tomorrow. I think it'll be better tomorrow. Monday, stock market drops 1,000 points. Tuesday, it drops 1,000 points. Wednesday, there was a dead cat bounce. And it only dropped 150 points, something like that. During the whole week, the stock market, the Dow Jones, the 30 most influential stocks in the United States, dropped over 3,500 points. It is not going to get better. It is, in fact, one of those days was the largest single drop. I think it was 1,100 and something points in one day in history. In history. The stock market is going down. There is nothing that's going to stop it until this Wuhan coronavirus burns itself out and everybody gets back to business. There is no business right now. The supply chain is stopped. I don't mean slowed down. I mean zip, zero. There's nothing coming here from China. And I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to say it again in a little while, I'm sure. Anything you think you're going to buy or think you're going to need, especially if it comes from China, you better go out today, tomorrow, and get it. I was at Costco this week. Good Lord. It looked like a movie. There were people going in there that normally would go in once a month with a cart and buy a bunch of stuff. And there were people in there with two and three flatbeds of stuff, buying everything from bleach to rubber gloves to toilet paper, of course, and canned goods. They're stocking up. People are freaking out. This is the thing you see on the news every time Florida gets a one-week warning of a hurricane coming. The people will wait to the last day, and then you'll see them swarming the stores and stripping them bare. It was kind of interesting because the local rag here, the Coeur d'Alene Press, interviewed me, and they did a good job this time. And I appreciated that. And they came in and they asked me, what contingency plans do businesses have for an infectious disease? And I said, none. And he looks at me and goes, what do you mean? I said, business has one of two plans, to either succeed or to succumb. There's no middle part there. And especially these companies that buy products solely from Japan or China, I mean, because they're not going to have product to sell. And if you don't have product to sell, you're not going to make any money. So you're going to find a lot of little businesses closing. They can't get their product out of China. There's none to get. I noticed a vape store closed here in Coeur d'Alene. Now, there's no laws in Idaho about vaping or any of that stuff, but the store closed because all of his liquids that he was selling came out of China, and he hasn't received anything since February, and he's not going to get anything. So he just, that's it. I'm done. I'm out of business. You can see the writing on the wall. So the reporter was asking me all about this. I said, look, the problem is we made the mistake. We went to war with China and they won. And this was 30 years ago. And we decided that we'll allow China to control the economy in the United States. And then you have these communist presidents from Bush to Clinton to Obama who decided we're moving all manufacturing out of, and food growing out of the United States because why, this is a global economy and we don't need to waste our time growing things and manufacturing things because why, China can do it cheaper. And now this is what's happening. Procter and Gamble came out with a warning. Now, when I was a kid on Fruit Ridge Road in Sacramento, Procter and Gamble was right down the street. They would, whatever they were manufacturing, they would make 24 hours a day. I mean, you'd wake up in the morning and you'd have a dusting of soap particles on your car. I mean, if it rained, everything was sudsy. They warn they have 17,600 products that use 9,000 materials from 387 factories in China. Okay? 17,600 products. 9,000 of those materials to make those products come out of China. They have no supply. Procter & Gamble actually shut down manufacturing 900 of their products because they have no supply. They have no supply of ingredients. See, and that's the thing. The item, the product either comes out of China or the ingredients to assemble the product comes out of China. And if you have no supply chain, you're screwed. And that's what I was telling this guy. This is very, very bad. Never mind the virus. Pretend the Wuhan virus doesn't exist. Just look at the data and the economic stat sheets and exactly what's going on and what's occurring. The economy in the United States is booming. Anyone who says it's not is either a communist or they're one taco shy of a combination plate. Because this economy is booming. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. There is so much work. You cannot not find a job. If you can't find a job, you're lying. We have people here who have an IQ of negative 10, and they can go get a job. There's not even a problem. But because if they don't have things to sell, these companies are going to go out of business. And I'm watching it. And this just this area up here, the Coeur d'Alene area, the Hayden area. I'm watching these stores. The shelves are starting to not have 10 to 20 of a specific item on the shelf. They might have five left. And then tomorrow there might be two left. I talked to the manager at Costco just a couple minutes, and I asked him, I said, are you noticing any supply chain disruptions? And he said, well, we've been asked to space our orders a little tighter together so that we can get things here in times to make sure that we have product to sell. And we don't, he told me, he goes, I don't understand why they would change the rules on this. And I told him, aren't you paying attention to what's going on in China? He goes, no, I don't listen to the news. He's a millennial. And if it's not on Facebook, I'm sure he's never heard of it. But I don't understand why an American is so uneducated as that. But people are buying stuff like crazy at Costco. Yeah, I went to Costco yesterday. I bought a bunch of, well, I don't need any food, but I bought a bunch. I bought like 6 gallons of Clorox pure bleach, and I bought some wipes and sterile wipes and some Lysol and you know, just the normal cleaning stuff that we use in a year. I bought it all at once instead of waiting, you know, till later when I can't go in. Now, the news came out. Now, we're under the economy right now. You know, I have different categories. I have economy, health and food, Islam, the liberal psychosis, government threat, Trump. And then I have the part of my show where I talk to you about something that's going to keep you alive or make your life a little bit better. So we're under the economy right now. You know, the Federal Reserve has been pumping billions of dollars into our banks in the United States because the banks would basically collapse if they didn't have these billions and trillions of dollars that the Federal Reserve is creating out of thin air and pumping into our banks in the United States. Well, the world banks, all of the banks in the world, an ex-Federal Reserve governor, Warsh, his name, he sees, this is what he's predicting, that the global central banks are going to respond to the coronavirus spread. Now, what he means in a covert manner is that the economies worldwide are collapsing. Worldwide. Now, this is the country's economy. It's a little bit different than the city and the impersonal economy. Like, I work all the time, so I make enough money to live on, and I'm doing just fine. My money isn't sitting in the stock market. I was never, smart enough or stupid enough to put my money in the stock market. All of this stuff can go to hell, and I'll still be okay as long as other individuals in the area are doing okay. Unfortunately, these presidents, the globalists that we've had in the past 30 years, have been purposely pushing us to be dependent on other countries. And that's the key. They want every country dependent on another country. And it seems first world nations like Australia, Canada, America, they want us dependent on Muslim or communist nations. I don't understand. But anyway, this guy is saying, he's look for what's going to happen very soon. The global banks are going to be doing something. I don't like it when they're cryptic like that. I mean, they could close all the banks down, say, just to make everybody happy and safe, we're going to close banks and only open them 2 days a week. I don't know. Now, there's still some plus points here. Now, I got to tell you something. Many of you have seen this show. What is it called? It's where you take weird things that you think are worth money and they show them on TV and they talk about them. I forgot what it's called, but there's always a story that somebody comes up with. And I knew a friend of mine who actually did this. He went to a flea market in Sacramento called Roseville, Denio's Flea Market. He spent $17 on this little painting that was probably about 10 inches by 12 inches. And it had a frame on it that was gilded gold and very beautiful. He didn't care about the painting. He cared about the frame. So he bought it. And he had a friend who was an art critic who worked for Christie's Auction out of San Francisco. And he sent it to him and said, look, how much is this frame worth? I want to know. I'm going to put it up for sale. And his friend contacted him and said, frame's worth $298. The picture, though, it's probably worth about $750,000. You see, you can find things. Well, there's a guy that went to a flea market in England. We have these shows here in Spokane where they're called them collectible shows. In other words, junk shows, but they were you never know what you're going to find in there. This guy went there, and he's digging through this jar of coins, and he finds this copper coin, it says 1776 Continental Dollar. He paid 56 cents for it. Okay, so this thing says Continental Currency, 1776. It's stamped on there. It says, mind your business. And on the back, it's some other things. And it says, America, we are one. And there's a bunch of different things on it. 1776, all right? So this has got to be worth something. This is cute. Maybe I can drill a hole in it, wear it around my neck. So he sent it off to be looked at. And they looked at it, and they're like, do you know what you have? And the guy goes, no, I paid less than a dollar for it. And he goes, well, I'll give you $100,000 for it right now. So you never know what you're going to have. Now, here's the secret, and I was asked this by customers. I'm always asked this. What happens if paper money becomes untrustworthy and garbage? Well, okay. Here's the thing about money. It is worth what two people agree it's worth. It's that simple. And that goes to not just money, but it goes to items. Items are worth what two people agree they're worth. Let's say I've got a bottle of throat spray here. And some guy comes in and he goes, I want that throat spray. And I say, well, it's $5. And he goes, well, I don't have any money, but I got half an ounce of silver. Well, a lot of people say, I don't want that. Me? I grant that beingness. I grant that ability to be valuable. So I'll say, sure, I'll trade you. It's called barter. And I tell you, someday, we might get to that point again. Just so you know, I'm doing this as a favor to you guys. A lot of you are tired of getting screwed by the cable companies to watch TV. Up here, it's going to cost you $100 to have internet and some TV stations. Unless you're like me and you put an antenna up on your roof. Now I got 37 stations. But there's places, you know, you can go online and watch movies for free. Now, if you go to armchairsurvivalist.com, on the left-hand side is going to be a link that says show notes. You click on that, and there'll be the dates of my shows that I've done and a little title, okay? And you click on any one of those, and it'll take you to my main page for that show. And that show will have all of the source that I talk about. So I'm talking about where to watch free movies. You'll find this link there. There's different things you can watch. Canopy. Now, this is on the internet. So you can either watch it on your computer, or if you have a smart TV, you can go on your browser and go to this place. Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y. Popcorn Flix, one word, F-L-I-X. Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O. Oh, and I'm being archived here. It's called the Internet Archive. Everything on the internet is archived there. Everything, well, all the older movies, you know, like Plan 9 from Outer Space and the Three Stooges, Charlie Chaplin collections there. It's the Internet Archive, or you can call it also the Wayback Machine. And then there's Sony Crackle, C-R-A-C-K-L-E, Vudu, not Hoodoo, Vudu. There's Hoopla, there's all kinds of different places, including YouTube. You can find movies. Think of a movie. Go on YouTube, type it in, and it might be there. Now, you're not going to be getting any new movies there, that's for sure. All right, we're going into the category of food and health. I only have one thing under this category. Now, I've been talking about this plague of locusts that's hitting. It's hitting all the Middle East, including China. Of course, China turned 100,000 ducks loose to eat them up. It's astounding. Right now, yeah, I'm watching a video out of Bahrain. It's middle of the day, and the sky is black. Bahrain is an island. These locusts are so thick, and they're breeding so fast. They're not stopping in Bahrain. They're going through it. And there's so many of them, the sky literally is black. This doesn't happen in the United States because we don't have the Dust Bowl. Locusts like arid areas, like the Sahara. They like arid areas like Africa and the Middle East. And then they live where it's hot, and then they take off and they swarm, and they all look for food. And they look for food so they can breed. And this is another calamity that's occurring in the Middle East and in China. All right, now we're going to get into Wuhan. The Wuhan virus, I'm going to tell you this every show. Every single show, the first two things that I tell you are going to be the same. And I'm going to call this the Wuhan virus. I'm not going to call it SARS-CoV-19. I'm not going to do any of that crap. We know where it came from, and we know what it is. This is the Wuhan virus. This virus can spread from people who are not symptomatic, meaning somebody who says, yeah, I'm healthy as a horse. He can give you that virus if he's a carrier. So don't think that just because somebody's not sick, you can't get it. And there is a 24-day incubation period, not 14-day like you're being lied to by the CDC and every country on earth. Which brings me to a point here. Countries always lie. Governments always lie. Not sometimes, always lie. Especially under threats and under danger. They will not tell you the truth because they don't want you to disrupt the economy. That sounds like an oversimplification, but it's not. Trump will not tell you the truth. Of course, he's not an expert on anything. I mean, on this kind of stuff, he has to listen to people, right? So these people are lying to him, saying, no, don't worry about it. There's nothing behind that curtain over there. Just ignore that man behind the curtain. They're not going to tell him the truth. And all he can do is parrot what he's told. And same thing with every other leader in every other country on earth. This Wuhan virus is in every country on earth. The Chinese are very insidious. They have gotten into every country on earth. I don't care where it is. And unfortunately, the Chinese are the original spread. They are the original spreader. Because what do Chinese want? They want to go to Wuhan for the Moon Festival or for New Year's festivals. They save up all year for that. They go there and they come back. Any diseases they pick up, they bring back with them. And this one was brought back. So the two things I'm going to tell you every day, this Wuhan virus can spread by people who aren't even symptomatic. And there is a 24-day incubation period, not 14 days. So when they put this, a ship comes into dock and they say, well, we got 110 people on here with this virus, but everybody's going to quarantine for 14 days. And then at the end of 14 days, they turn all these people loose like they just did last week in San Diego. 14 days. It's a 24-day incubation period. 28 people in California have tested positive. There's different what you don't need the CDC test kit to determine that you have this virus. At the end of this category, you're going to listen to some data. There's going to be some cuts that I'm going to play. And you're going to understand why this is not like we've been, again, lied to. We're having some people come out now. They have their own agenda, and they're pushing it, and they're trying to invalidate this fact that this virus is different than a normal cold virus or the normal flu virus. We have a guy named, he's on the internet, and John, J-O-N something or other, and this guy's a fruitcake. I swear to God, I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know why he's talking like he does. He's saying, oh no, this virus is not a real virus. It's just the flu. And the reason the people in Wuhan died is because the smog was so bad there. And it's just a coincidence. Everything is a coincidence. And then there's a female who has her own agenda, which is she doesn't like 5G. On cell phones. And she says, no, the 5G and the smog caused all of this. That's why everything's going to hell. And any place there's 5G, the disease is going to go. Well, I'm sorry, the United States doesn't have 5G all over the place right now. Why are people getting the disease and dying? And they are dying. Why are people getting the disease in Africa? Why are people getting a disease in areas where they don't have cell towers? See, you've got to be careful. There are many of you out there who cannot confront the fact that this is a bad thing. I've met many of you. You can't confront it. No, it's just the flu. That's all it is. Uh-huh. You'll find out what the truth is at the end of this show. It's not just the flu. This is a coronavirus, yes. But this isn't the one you get with the flu. I told you about the passengers leaving the ship because they're done with the quarantine. All right, 9 days later, 45 of them end up with the symptoms of the Wuhan coronavirus. 76 people in Oregon are being monitored right now. Actually, it's above 90 now. But they're being monitored. And by monitored, it means they came back from China. and they don't feel well, but they're not bad enough to put in a hospital, so they're just being monitored. A couple cases have occurred in California from people who had nothing to do with anybody, as far as they know, who came or went from China. So the doctors are busy trying to figure out and justify how somebody who wasn't associated with Chinese and or who had nothing to do with anybody who went to China or any of that it shows up with the disease. But the doctors are out there trying to justify it and explain it and ease everyone's fears. Google in Switzerland, one of their employees shows up with this virus. And again, I call it the Wuhan virus. The actual name is SARS, S-A-R-S, COVID, C-O-V-I-D, 19. But I just call it the Wuhan virus. It showed up in Toronto, Canada. It showed up in Croatia. You heard about Italy. Italy was being hammered with this. They have dozens of deaths. And this is what astounds me when you get these people that say, oh, it's just the flu. Well, I'm sorry, but the flu takes longer than 4 days to kill you, or 5 days. There was an Israeli who was on that Japanese cruise ship that was released after only 14 days. He goes back to Israel. Now realize, what was my number one? Number one, coronavirus can spread by people who aren't symptomatic. So this Israeli, who was not symptomatic, flew back from Israel, from Japan, aboard a plane that had 300 other people on there, took taxis, got home, and developed coronavirus. How many hundreds of people did he infect? Over 80, actually it's over 100 now, are under quarantine in New York. And I watched this live when they did this, and this was on, I don't remember if it was CNN or ABC. A man was being interviewed. He was a Caucasian with a half Chinese, half Caucasian little girl on his lap. His wife had died of the disease, and they told him that he was fine and he could go home. So he's being interviewed with his daughter on his lap, and he starts coughing and he can't stop. Pope Francis, last week, decided to have a mass and tell everybody how he's sorry for everybody who has this coronavirus. Now, where's the Pope Francis? He's in Italy. The next day, he started blowing his nose and feeling really sick. So he said, I'm going to have to not see people for a couple of days. This morning, it was announced that he's taking a sabbatical for a couple weeks in some place. Saudi Arabia. Now, this is the big thing coming up for the insanity called Islam, where they go back to where the psychotic first started. Islam, and they have a pilgrimage there. And we're talking hundreds of thousands of people show up there. Even a million can show up there. They're canceling it because Saudi Arabia has the disease. Costco has sold out of all emergency food. For a while, I was telling people, you know, you go to Costco, Costco.com, and you can see what they have there because they sell emergency food. They sell survival food, Mountain House products. You go there now, you can't even find anything. They don't even have a category anymore. They're 100% sold out. And their website, their stores are sold out of Mountain House Foods. I have a website that you can go to. It is IntelliHub, IntelliHub.com. You got that. IntelliHub, IntelliHub.com. And they have updates there as often as they can of what's happening pertaining to this virus. You know, one of the things, and I won't say what they printed about Rush, but on the site there, they're talking about how Rush and Dr. Drew and a bunch of other doctors are all saying, this is only the flu. Don't worry about it. This is only the flu. That is a disservice, and that is a covert manner of trying to kill you, as far as I'm concerned. This is not the flu. This is something different. There are, under the Centers for Disease Control, they track how many flu patients there are. It's a whole separate category. They're not in this category. This is a separate thing. I do understand it. I'm going to say I don't understand, but I do understand it, because there's a lot of people that they're afraid of their boat getting rocked. And if they found out that this could kill them, they'd freak out. Now, the people that are dying from this already have a compromised immune system. They're already disease-laden of one kind or another, one foot in a grave, one on a banana peel. You get me? I mean, there's a lot of them out there. The World Health Organization has raised the global risk for contacting this virus from high to very high, which, you know, doesn't mean much to most people, but let's see. The Japanese prime minister, because there's a whole bunch of cases popping up in Japan, has ordered the closure of all schools. They've ordered the closure of all schools. Now, that means from kindergarten to college. All schools in Japan are closed. But he decided that because it's really not that dangerous, we're going to go ahead with the Olympics. When do the Olympics start? Oh, July 24th. Well, all of this ought to be over in a few months, huh? Let's see, March, April, May, June, July. Yeah. All of this disease and everything should be over in a few months. So we're going to still host the Olympics. Well, that's intelligent. Both California and Oregon are confirming more virus diagnosis, and they're calling this community spread. That's a name for we have no frickin' clue where it came from. Here's another thing that's popping up. People, now not everybody dies if they get this virus. In fact, it's probably about in the 3-5% range right now. And in first world countries, it's less than that. Because there's ways that they can keep you alive while you heal. And that'll be explained in a few minutes. But what happens is people who have had this virus and they survive it, and then they, a week later, are discharged, all of a sudden it's popping back up. Well, doctors didn't get rid of it. They just handled all the symptoms. So the patient felt better, and his vitals showed him that he was better, so they turned him loose. And then they end up sick again. Now, I talked about the high levels of sulfur dioxide in Wuhan, China. Remember? This comes from burning human bodies. And they are burning hundreds and hundreds a day in China, in Wuhan, just Wuhan. No, I'm not counting the rest of the China. I'm just talking about Wuhan. Well, you have sulfur dioxide, and you also have nitrogen dioxide. Now, nitrogen dioxide is basically the smog that you get from all of the manufacturing plants in China. I mean, you get, and only in China, because in the United States we have catalytic converters on the smokestacks and we have other filtering systems. Well, the nitrogen dioxide is just plummeting in China because there's no manufacturing going on. I've mentioned this and many other people have mentioned it, and you might even remember the fact that each president has given himself dictatorial powers, if for want of a better term, in case of an emergency, which puts the president in charge of food production, transportation, you know, all of those things. Well, there is something known as Defense Production Act, and it was used in World War II to basically force manufacturers to go into war readiness and start manufacturing weapons of war, munitions, uniforms, that kind of stuff. Well, this Defense Production Act is real, and the Trump White House is now looking at using it to boost supplies of coronavirus protective gear in the United States. Well, Trump had a speech this morning that I just listened to, and he was saying he has that the U.S. has 43 million N95 masks stored. Well, it's not going to do a hell of a lot of good because we have 350 million citizens and another probably 30 million criminal aliens in the United States. But regardless, so it's called the Defense Production Act. And manufacturers will be contacted and told, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. You're going to start making masks for us. Or you're going to start making rubber gloves. You're going to start making this. You start making that. And, of course, they'll pay them. They'll just put some numbers on a computer keyboard and transfer these numbers to the company's website or bank account. So who cares? All right. Now, I got a clip here. It's facts on coronavirus. This is a very simple clip. comparatively, believe me, this is a very simple clip that gives you some basics on this virus.
So we need to get the facts straight. How does this virus work? How does it transmit? Where does it want to go? And let's protect ourselves. I'm Dr. Peter Lin. I'm a family physician in Toronto, Canada. The coronavirus is a family of viruses that can cause as mild things as just a common cold, all the way up to SARS or MERS. These are these bad pneumonias that we're talking about. And basically what these viruses are, they look like a tennis ball with all these spikes sticking out of it. And depending on the type of spike, it allows that virus to attach to certain places. So some viruses, they have the spike that attaches to your nose. So basically you just get a common cold. But the SARS virus and this new virus that we're talking about has the spike that allows it to attach to the cells in your lung. And when it attaches there, it puts in information to make photocopies of itself. So it uses our equipment to make more viruses.
I'm declaring a public health emergency of international concern over the global outbreak of novel coronavirus.
Most of the coronaviruses live in animals. In this particular case, it was from Wuhan. There was a fish market where they were selling live animals. And the thought is that the virus was in a live animal, then it crossed into a human. But then what we found was that people were getting sick in terms of healthcare workers, in terms of family members that were looking after them, which now meant that the virus can pass from human to another human. Just like all viruses, it needs to reach a target, which is your lung. And it has to get there with your help. It has no feet and no wings. So therefore, it needs us to move it there. So that's why we keep saying, don't hang around sneezy people because you're going to breathe it in. And don't touch your face because that's how the virus is going to get in. The masks are helpful, but they're not necessary because they're leaky. The ones that you and I buy basically have pockets here, so therefore the virus can get in. What the masks really do is they stop us from touching our face. If you're sick, we tend to mask you, so therefore you're not spewing out the viruses to other people sitting around you. The true people that have the real masks are the N95. Those are sealed. These are for the doctors that may be caring for the patients. So in the beginning, the coronavirus will cause kind of like flu-like symptoms or a cold. So people just get the stuffy nose, that kind of thing. But you'll understand that as soon as that virus starts manufacturing in your lung cells, they're producing all these copies of the virus, all of a sudden now you kill the lung cells. So now you can't exchange oxygen. And that's why one of the early symptoms is people get very short of breath and they tend to have a difficult time breathing. And that's why they end up in hospital. So currently, unfortunately, we don't have a direct treatment for the coronavirus. So we don't have a medication that can kill it off. And so it's really supportive. So in other words, the patient can't breathe. We give them oxygen, help them to breathe. They can't drink, so therefore we give them fluids to support them. Their kidneys begin to shut down. We help them with all those things. So it's a very supportive process. This is a new virus that we've never seen before. So our immune system, our army, are having a hard time figuring out what to do. So usually what we have to do is we make something called antibodies. So these are things that can grab onto the spikes that we see on the virus, and it'll get rid of the virus for you. And that will actually bring you back to good health. So therefore, the elderly may have a worse outcome. And of course, the young children. So the babies, their immune system is not so good either. So they may not make those antibodies as well. So just remember, your hands may be with virus. Virus cannot hurt you because it can't get through the skin. But the moment I do this, now I've brought the virus right to where it wants to go. So let's remember not to touch our hands to our face. So let's say you think that you might have been on a plane or you might have bumped into somebody that has it. What should you do? So the first thing is to contact a healthcare worker to tell them that potentially you have it. If you're feeling symptoms and you're going to go into a facility, call ahead. Okay, so whether you're calling the paramedics or whether you're calling the hospital or your doctor, just mention that you were on a flight. If you don't have any symptoms, then what we do is a little bit of a self-quarantine. In other words, we can just keep you away from other people, and so you don't go into parties, don't go with your friends, don't go into public transportation. So we can contain it very easily by making sure that you do a self-confinement, so to speak, for the, let's say, 7 to 14 days is the longest incubation time. So after that, if you're feeling well, then you don't have anything to worry about. So if we get the facts right, then we don't have to be overly worried, but we do the right things so that we don't get the virus ourselves and that we don't pass it on to others. And if we look after each other in this way, this virus will have nowhere to go. It needs us to move it. It needs us to make copies for it. And if we don't help it, then the virus will stop. So we have the power to do that right now.
Okay, so that's just some basic data on the virus. Now, there's about eight types of coronaviruses. they're called corona because, like he said, you know, they have a crown. It looks like a crown. I think four of them are human. They carry human to human, and four of them are animal to animal. And sometimes they can modify themselves, mutate, and jump species. You hear people say the coronavirus. That is a misnomer, and that should be corrected. Just because they need to not be ignorant. It is not the coronavirus, because there's many of them. You get a cold, that's a coronavirus. You get the flu, that's a coronavirus. There's different kinds. You can even get a coronavirus that makes you vomit and have diarrhea all the time. So they need to be corrected. You can use any words you want. If you want to call it COVID-19 or the Wuhan virus, that's fine. Now, this next clip is it's a doctor basically cramming third-year medical students on the coronavirus. Now, there's a test coming up, so he's doing this cramming so that they can understand what's going on, and they're covering it. Now, unfortunately, the terminology and nomenclature in this is for a third-year medical student, but if you follow along, and if you want, get a dictionary, look this stuff up, hit pause, or just listen to it, and you'll get the gist of what this is and why it's different than any other coronavirus out there.
So I hear this question a lot. How does the coronavirus actually kill people? There's a recent article in The Lancet that showed that of 41 people that were admitted to the hospital, 6 of them died, and all of them were on ventilators, and they died with something called ARDS. And ARDS is how the coronavirus kills. It's not just the coronavirus, but many other viruses, including the influenza virus that we have every year. How is it that this happens? It's through acute respiratory distress syndrome. So you first have to understand lung anatomy. And to understand that, I like to show you a tree. So a tree has a tree stump, and then it branches, and then those branches branch, and then further those branches branch, until finally you get to the leaves. And these leaves capture the sun's rays, and that's what gives you photosynthesis. And that's how the tree lives. And so what happens is that this tree and the branches increase the surface area of the leaves on the tree. So that if you were to pluck off all of the leaves and you were to put them on the ground next to each other, the surface area that is represented by those leaves would be larger than the shadow that is produced by the sun on that tree. Well, it's the same exact thing that happens with your lungs. You've got an airway, and then that airway divides into a right main stem bronchus and into a left main stem bronchus. And then you have a right upper lobe, you have a right middle lobe, right lower lobe, left upper lobe, and you have a left lower lobe. So this is the left side, this is the right, because you're looking at the patient. And then these things, of course, divide into much smaller branches. And instead of leaves at the end of all of these things, what you have is something called an alveoli, which is a tiny little small grape-like structure that the air gets into. And the air, of course, has oxygen. So what does this look like on a large scale? Here's what an alveolus looks like. How many alveoli are there in the human body? Well, there's about 600 million of them. These are very, very small. So what happens is deoxygenated blood comes by, and its job is to pick up the oxygen that comes in to the alveoli. And then when that oxygen comes in, it oxygenates the blood, and then that blood goes back to the heart and then to the body and all your muscles. That's how you get oxygen. And so you can imagine that this is very, very thin, because the oxygen which comes down here has to diffuse into the bloodstream. So far, so good. But what happens? Well, just like when you hit your finger in the door, your finger swells. That's because there's inflammation occurring where you hit your finger in the door. And inflammation causes a leakage of fluids into the tissue space. So what happens here is that you get a viral infection. The virus affects your lungs. And with ARDS, the entire lung becomes inflamed, not just in one area like you would have with a pneumonia, or one particular area, for instance, on your finger, and it would just stay in one particular finger and your whole hand wouldn't swell. No, with ARDS, the entire lung goes crazy with inflammation. And so what happens here, instead of having a nice thin area, inflammation goes everywhere, and you get a large barrier of fluid that goes into the interstitial space. Furthermore, these capillaries start to become leaky, and fluid starts to leak into the alveolar space as well, and this starts to fill up with liquid. Proteinaceous liquid, liquid that prevents oxygen from getting into the bloodstream. And so instead of having nice oxygenated blood, this blood becomes hypoxic, and you become hypoxic if you have ARDS and you have a hard time breathing, and that's when you get placed on the ventilator. There's really nothing you can do to speed this up. There's nothing that you can do to slow it down. You have to be supported on the ventilator so that you're getting enough oxygen and that the machine can breathe for you until, just like everything else, after you hit your finger in the door and the swelling goes away, this fluid will eventually go away as well. The key, though, is keeping you supported during that period of time until the fluid goes away. And then, once again, the oxygen will be able to go back into the system and you will get oxygen back to your tissues. So here's another look at that. We get oxygen that's going down into these terminal structures called the alveoli. They go into these alveoli and they cause deoxygenated blood to turn into oxygenated blood and then go back to the heart. So I'm going to show you three things today that we have learned in the last 20 years that can improve survival in these patients who are on ventilators to help them beat coronavirus, or for that matter, any other virus, whether it be influenza, whether it be respiratory syncytial virus, any other kind of virus, for beating and getting better if you have ARDS and you're on the ventilator. So the first thing that we're going to look at is what they noticed back in 2000 and actually before is that when we put people on the ventilator and the ventilator puts a breath into their airways, what we were trying to do is we were trying to make sure that we were ventilating patients well. And that's important in some situations because the blood that is poor in oxygen also has carbon dioxide, which is given up from the muscles. Well, this carbon dioxide would need to be ventilated to be taken out on exhalation. So CO2 would be coming out. Well, in order to do that, we had to make sure that enough volume of air was going back and forth, back and forth. The problem with that, though, is that we were inflating these alveoli. And then when we were releasing the pressure and letting the air out, these alveoli would collapse down and nothing was keeping them open. So they would be opening and closing, shutting and opening. And so that was causing a lot of sheer stress. And of course, what's the whole problem here that we've got? Inflammation is what's causing the whole problem here in the first place. And that's causing these membranes to become very thick and the oxygen can't get in there. And so by ventilating these patients with large tidal volumes, we were causing the inflammation to actually get worse than it would have been if we hadn't done that. And so the scientists started to look at this and say, wait a minute, what happens if we just put a lot of pressure down here to keep these alveoli open and only use a small amount of tidal volume to ventilate these patients? And yes, we won't be able to get as much carbon dioxide out of them, but we don't really care so long as we're not adding more inflammation to it. And so that first thing that we looked at, this is back in the early 2000s that this came out, is low tidal volume. And that would almost certainly cause the PCO2s, or the partial pressure of carbon dioxide in the blood, to go up. So this was called a low tidal volume strategy. And sure enough, paper was published in 2000 in the New England Journal of Medicine that showed that we could affect change and we could decrease the mortality at the time from 40% down to about 31% mortality. So that was a huge drop in mortality. And all we did was we just ventilated people differently using low tidal volume. Now, when you're ventilating people with low tidal volume, it's not very comfortable. They're trying to breathe more because they don't like the increased carbon dioxide levels. And so they would try to breathe over the ventilator, and they would try to breathe differently than what the ventilator was telling them to do. And in these cases, we would usually sedate the patients, but if we sedated them too much, bad things could happen to them. They could get blood clots. Their blood pressure would go down. And so the second thing that they came up with was actually paralyzing these patients using medications so that they were in perfect sync with the ventilators. And so that was paralysis. paralysis requires pretty intensive care in the intensive care unit. You need good ancillary services. You need good respiratory therapists. You need good nursing. Something that you might not get if there's a huge outbreak, but you could get if attention was made to this. So this paper, also published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and by the way, I'm going to give links to all of these papers in the description below, they were able to drop the mortality from 41% down to 32%. And this paper was published in 2010. So far, so good. What we also started to realize is that patients in the hospital, for whatever particular reason, if you ever look at them in bed, they're on their back. And what we decided to do was flip them over. And there was a number of reasons for this, so that their belly was down and that their back was up. We call this prone positioning. And if you do this for about 17 to 18 hours a day, you can actually decrease the mortality they found from 33% down to 16%. And this paper was published back in 2013. And so you can see here three breakthroughs in the treatment of ARDS, the final common pathway for morbidity and mortality in the coronavirus that we're talking about. But the other thing about this that's interesting is we can do a lot if we catch it early and we get people into the hospital and we get them in the intensive care unit and we get them on ventilators and we're able to appropriately treat them with good quality medical care. And three things that really make a difference, then we've got a good chance so that they're not another statistic of mortality, but they survive this. And so really the purpose of putting these updates on is to make sure that people understand the medical background of what's going on. Sometimes these stories about outbreaks can be very scary and for good reason, but we need to understand medically what it is that's going on because knowledge is power.
All right. Now I played this clip before. This is Cliff High, and he's talking about a cytokine storm. And he's talking about how you can defend yourself against it and how you can protect yourself. You listen to this, please, because what he's talking about, I'm going to talk about when we're done.
It kills you by using your own immune system against you in what's known as a cytokine storm. That is an overproduction of signaling molecules that trick the immune system of your body in such a way that it floods the mucus system of your lungs and you drown. You basically drown in your own fluids. There's a magnesium and a calcium component to it. It has a tendency to drain fluids from the rest of the body in that last part of the cytokine storm. It tricks the inappropriately loaded control systems, including the thymus, into providing elements of your own demise. It's not like you're in a situation where you can say, I'm reasonably healthy, I don't get the flu, and, you know, my lungs are clear, you know, that kind of thing, right? But anyway, so it's not like you can say that you're not going to get the flu if exposed simply because you're healthy, right? That's not going to work in this particular case. There are things you can do, but you can stop cytokine storming. Way back in history, In the 1920 Spanish influenza, we have journals that are still holdovers, right? And so I've read a lot of these just because of the nature of running across this medical library and not being interested in the medicine part and stumbling into that. But anyway, so we're going to be dealing with a situation where we're going to have potentially twice as many infected people overall and at a peak as did the Spanish influenza, which is probably going to mean that a lot of people are going to become caregivers and they won't really be prepared for this, okay? And so a couple of things is that, you know, you got to take care of yourself in order to not get sick, and then you're going to have to know how to not pass it on to other people that aren't yet sick or shouldn't get sick, and we're going to have to go through all the hygiene issues and that sort of thing. So I'm not here to go through the hygiene part of it, right? But I'm here to tell you how to deal with the aspect by which this virus seems to be killing the young adults. This is what's being reported out of China right now. And this is why we see the people collapse and grab their chests and keel over. They're actually beginning that process of having their lower lungs fill up with fluids as their body goes into this hyper-accelerated immune system response to, let's call it a bioweapon, the virus, okay? So really what's going to happen is that, let's assume that it's somebody else, all right? So somebody you know is going to get this virus. You'll think it's the regular flu, or you'll hope. You'll go through all of that. In a really scary situation, you might be in a city. You might have limited number of people that can help you out, and you might start seeing that your local hospitals and other urgent care facilities are starting to really fill up with lots of people that are reporting flu-like symptoms. Whether or not you will have your city, your news, even the freaked out conspiracy guys in your local area catch on that it's coronavirus and it's starting to sweep through your area before it actually dawns on you that you may have it, that's going to be really dependent on how paranoid and nutso everybody gets. And I'm assuming we're all going to get pretty nutso. Okay, and so you're in a situation where you're going to be ill, and you're going to think you're going to need to go to the hospital. You can't tell if you've got coronavirus or just regular flu. Either case, you're not feeling well. And in either case, it's difficult to do things and it's difficult to think. One of the things you can do now that will aid you, even if it's just regular flu, and may save your life if you have coronavirus and were to go into cytokine storming, which that's dependent. Okay, so you could just be somebody that got sick in that 80% with the coronavirus. And you go through 2 weeks of hell, lots of sniffles and all of that kind of crap at a huge level, and you survive, you're weak, you come out of it, you rebuild, you're stronger, you go on. Okay, but maybe 11 to 15% of the people won't come out of it. They're going to die. They're going to die because their lungs are going to react to their immune system. Now, you can get that dampened down and under control. You can avoid going into that. So there's two aspects of this. You can avoid a cytokine storm by having adequate levels of vitamin B6 in all of your cells. So especially those cells that are part of the immune system. So in order to get an adequate level of B6, you may have to flood your system with B for a while, accept the niacin flush, take the homocystex to get B6 in a very nice bioavailable form along with B12, and just maintain your system with B6. If you have adequate levels of B6, you can't have a cytokine storm. No matter how much the triggers happen, your body won't respond because the B6 dampens down and destroys those triggers when they're inappropriately sent. If you don't have adequate levels of B6, which is most humans, especially in the winter, because B6 is related to effective vitamin D intake. And so if you're not getting effective vitamin D intake, the likelihood that you're getting enough B6 is also small. And so the B6 is something you really need to consider. And of course, take, you know, vitamin D3, etc., right? But the B6 in this case, you can also obtain B6 in sublingual and drops, okay, that are very fast acting. My suggestion is that perhaps if one were in a position where there might be a household of people around you, especially in a situation where maybe you might find yourself a caretaker under extreme circumstances, and I would suggest that this virus getting out of hand, which it already has, is extreme circumstances, then one may want to purchase very fast-acting forms of B6 should someone you have to care for start showing the signs of dying from a cytokine storm and their lungs filling up and all of that kind of crap, right?
Okay, so I played that clip before a couple weeks ago, but I wanted everyone to hear it again and pick up on what he was saying about what nutritional products you need to have on hand. And I would suggest personally using them on a daily basis. I do. He was talking about B6 and B12. And he mentioned sublingual. Well, what a coincidence. I happen to have, it's called No Shot. Meaning it's you don't get a shot, but you get the same potency on it. This is B6, B12, and it's balanced with folic acid. And what you do is you take two of these under your tongue. They dissolve almost instantly, and they taste real sweet. They're sweetened with stevia. But you have these as 100 tablets in a little bottle here. It's $15. Every 2 hours, you take these under your tongue. If it's an emergency, if it's normal operating condition, just take two of them under your tongue a day. Now, if you're if you're active. You burn out your B vitamins every 4 hours. And this is one of the problems with the human body. I don't care if it's winter or summer. If you're active, you're going to burn out your B vitamins. The human body does not create B vitamins, and it doesn't store B vitamins. It uses B vitamins. So you need to take it, if you're active, every 4 hours. Now, we also have B complex, which is a little more, it's a little different than this, but it's still sublinguals, and they go under your tongue. Now, you mentioned niacin. Niacin is the strongest B vitamin known to man. Niacin will give you a flush. Niacin, and he mentioned, just, you know, man up and take it. Niacin will give you a flush, true niacin. Anything other than the niacin that gives you a flush and gives you, makes you itchy, it's not real niacin. It's a waste of your money. Like niacinamide is a waste of money. It does nothing. No flush, slow flush, time release, any of those are garbage. You need pure niacin, and you need to know how to use it. Now, we sell niacin here. We have pure niacin, and I suggest everyone get the 100 milligram. It's only $4. It's, what is it here, 100 tablets. And you want to take one a day. You take it in the morning with food, or at lunch with food. With food. I stress that. If any of you buy the niacin and you don't know how to use it, ask us. We'll teach you how to use it. It's very simple, but you cannot, you've got to learn how to crawl before you can walk. So we can help you with that. And D. You do need D3. B vitamins with D3. Help, they kind of accent each other, and we have the sublingual D3. It's 10,000 units in one little tiny micro tab. And it's, what is that, 100 pills in there? Yeah, $15. Okay, now I also wanted to talk about antimicrobials, and as you know, I've talked about this 1,000 times in the past 22 years. We have the strongest antimicrobial that you can even imagine, and that's our oregano oil. The oregano oil is the oldest antimicrobial known to man. If you take it, and I've used our oregano oil to cure MRSA, and I'm not exaggerating, and I have the proof of it. So this stuff is very, very, very powerful. But you need to take it on a daily basis. If you remember, all the doctors are talking about how the people who are dying, their immune system is compromised. Well, this helps your immune system. Even if you have a compromised immune system, this will help build it up really fast. And you simply, you dilute it, and the instructions tell you how, and then you would take like 10 to 20 drops under your tongue, let it sit there for about 10 seconds, then drink it down. You do that once a day, just for upkeep, and just for defense. If you get sick, then you're going to take a dose of this every hour, 2 hours. That's up to you. So very powerful. Now, I have another product here. It's called Ultimate Immune Booster. I know this is sounding like a commercial, but there's a reason behind this. This is called Ultimate Immune Booster. You got to listen to what's in this. Now, first off, this exact formula, the FDA came out and said that it's stronger than Cipro. It's more effective than the antibiotic Cipro. We have, it's the Sambucus nigra, which is elderberry. Black elderberry, olive leaf extract, garlic extract, our oregano oil is in there, and then there's an ingredient from the larch tree along with rosemary oil. This is extremely powerful. I take two a day. If you get sick, you'll take two every 4 hours. But people who take these things don't get sick. And then we have the colloidal silver. Now, the thing with the colloidal silver, and I wanted to talk to you about that, is it means in liquid suspension, and silver is microatomic sized particles of silver is in this. In fact, if you look at it, it looks like water. It tastes, I don't know, a little tinny, but I can tell you my cat, every morning I get my shower and my cat jumps up on the sink and he says, all right, I need some fresh water, please. So I plug the sink and I put in some fresh cold water and he sits there staring at it. He literally will sit there staring at it until I open the colloidal silver bottle and I pour in probably a teaspoonful. And then he goes, thank you. And then he drinks. Every morning we go through that. And it's his medicine. I tell him, here's your medicine. And then he starts drinking it. So, and people use this for their animals. It kills all known pathogen on contact. It's used for pink eye. You gargle with it for a sore throat. You put it on acne. You put it on burns. You heal without scar tissue. But what you can do with this colloidal silver is I take it every day. Every day I take my oregano oil, hold it under my tongue about 10 seconds, and then I drink down about an ounce of the colloidal silver every day, and I have for 20 years. You can take, now there's a shortage of masks in the United States. We know this. Everybody knows this. Every half hour, somebody new comes into my store and says, do you have any N95 masks? And I have to teach them about certain things and that you're not going to find any there or any out there. But what you can do is exactly what the cowboys used to do and the farmers used to do during the Dust Bowl. Prior to the Depression or during the Depression, and for many reasons, the dirt dried up in the Midwest and it became, the dust was so fine that it worked its way through cloth. It was so fine. The dust was killing people by the hundreds. But what people would do is take their bandanas, soak them in water, wring them out, and wrap them around their nose and mouth, and then they could breathe. Well, you can do the same thing with the colloidal silver. Now, the colloidal silver is not just water. It kills pathogen on contact. So you're coating the bandana with an antimicrobial. So sprinkle colloidal silver on there, get a spritzer, spray it on there. I don't care what you have to do. Dip it in there, wring it out, and wrap it around your nose and your mouth. And those of you with beers, now this is the end case scenario. That is, if you're in an area where there's a lot of infection and you have to go out, well, this is what you want to do. This will protect you. It just, you have to use some common sense as well. Now you can, if you have some masks, and most people don't know this, they think a mask is good for a day and then you throw it away. No, it's not. Unless, of course, you're in smoke or in some high contaminant area where you're, when you breathe in, you're pulling in the particles and they're sticking to the outside of the mask. If you're just worried about contaminant, like viral contaminant or bacterial contaminant, at the end of the day, you can take your mask off and you can let it air dry. And then using a spritzer bottle, we have the spritzer, little spritzer bottles for a buck and a half. And you can buy those and whatever, you know, they're on the website. You can call us and order it. And take the mask off and spray the inside and spray the outside. Let it dry. Next day, put it back on. You've killed all the bacteria and virus that's on it, and you've given it a protection. And you can respray your mask during the day lightly as a boost. You can use the spritzers, the colloidal silver. You can spray it on your hands. You can spray it on your face, your children's hands. You can spray it on your dog's paws. You can spray it anywhere you want. You have to be inventive with this. You can't be stuck into the category of, oh, but I didn't know routine. You've got to be inventive. Now, we have a hand sanitizer, and everybody's told to get hand sanitizers. Dollar store will have them. But the stuff at the dollar store has a bunch of chemicals in it. First off, it's made in China, and it uses ethanol, and it kills bacteria. Yes, it does that, but it doesn't protect you. It just, whatever's on your hand, it kills. That ends it. You can instantly pick up something that is contaminated, and now you're contaminated again. We have this stuff called Handy Guard. It's a 2-ounce spray bottle. They're $6 a bottle, 2 for $10. They were invented by a friend of mine who's a podiatrist. It was to help diabetics heal non-healing wounds. That's what this stuff was invented for. Now, in the solid version of this, it's called DRC, Dermal Regenerating Cream, and we sell that on our website. This, on the other hand, it has organic silicone mixed in with it, with the strongest antimicrobial known to man. I mean, this thing is so potent, it's powerful. Let me read it to you. I got to get my magnifier out here. It's Drysil. It's a type of blended silicone elastomers, and then oxygen. Then there's a oxygen delivery silicone polymer, and benzochlorium chloride, 0.13%. You spray your hands with this. First off, you're going to say, oh my goodness, this is a great moisturizer. And it is. It will go into your hands. It will moisturize your hands. Those of you who have latex allergies, like doctors, nurses, physician assistants, dental assistants, whatever, you wear rubber gloves. Well, a lot of people get allergies to that and their hands break out. You spray your hands with this stuff, that ends the allergy, and it'll never happen. It'll never happen at all. In fact, your gloves will go on easier. This stuff, also, now I got to tell you this, and this is a personal thing. I'm wearing compression socks. My doctor's testing something on me. Those things are, I mean, try and put a square peg in a round hole. It ain't working. These socks are so hard to get on, you can sprain your thumb pulling them up. I spray my feet down with this stuff. They come right up, and they work perfect. Now, when you spray your hands with this stuff, the Handy Guard, not only does it kill all known pathogen, I don't care what it is, your hands are now sterile for at least 4 hours. In laboratory testing, it was about 8 hours. But in real life, because you're going to be scratching yourself and putting your coat on and wiping your hands and all of this stuff, it's going to be about 4 hours. So the Handy Guard, $6 a bottle, 2 for $10. Okay, so I told you these are the things, the oregano oil, the colloidal silver, the immune boost, the sublingual, the B6, B12, folic acid, the sublingual D. And for vitamin C, I recommend that you go to Costco. I mean, you can get it at Costco cheaper, but you can go anywhere and get it, especially Walmart. It's called Emergen C. They're little packets of vitamin C with a bunch of other nutrients in it. And you simply tear them open, dump them into about 2 to 4 ounces of water, stir it up, and it gives it a flavor, and you drink it. That is the strongest vitamin C that you can find out there. Okay, so that's enough of the Wuhan virus category. Now we're going to get into Islam. Now, this is, I don't know. Our founding fathers would be screaming at us if there any of them were alive at this day. And the first Muslim police chief in the United States was sworn in with his hand on the Quran. And this is Paterson, New Jersey. This guy is, his family's from Turkey. He's a first-generation immigrant. He's a Muslim. Now, you guess where I got this news? This was not from, like, the New Jersey Tribune. This was from the Morocco World News. This is the Muslim bragging about how Muslims are taking over areas in the United States and other countries. Now, you ever hear of Dearborn, Michigan? It's all Islamic. Chief of police, the mayor, you name it, everyone in charge there are Muslims. And a little while ago, there were some Christians that were talking to some Muslims on the street, and because of Sharia law, they were arrested. They're Sharia law in the United States, and these guys are disgusting creatures, and we're allowing them to become in charge of not just chief of police and the mayor, but congresswomen as well. Well, these people are suing right now. That's a violation of the First Amendment of the Constitution. That isn't even a thought on that subject. That's real. So they got together, and now they are suing them massively. This is ridiculous. I have a link to it. Sharia in the USA, Christians jailed for preaching to Muslims in Dearborn, Michigan. This is the Thomas More Law Center, and I have the links at armchairsurvivalist.com, show notes. You find today's date, March 1st, and you go there, and you'll be able to read this yourself. This is ridiculous. Okay, I told you last week that Turkey and Syria and the Russians had a little dust-up, right? So the Muslim in charge of Turkey, now this guy, Erdogan, wants to be the leader of all Muslims in the world. This is, I'm paraphrasing this, but that's basically it. So he thinks he's the second coming. He has decided, you know, if we're going to go to war, I'm going to let loose the dogs of hell right now. So he opened up his borders and told the 5 million Syrian refugees, head to the EU, go to Greece, go to Germany, go to England, go to France, go. The invaders have been turned loose, and now they're heading out. No, I'm sorry, 4 million. And he ordered them all 4 million of these Syrian refugees, to leave his borders within 72 hours. So Greece and Bulgaria have already deployed troops to try and seal the borders. But they're too politically correct. They're going to let them in. There's nothing they can do. They're going to let them in. Okay, now we're going to the other category here, the liberal psychosis. This is the party of racism, intolerance, anger, hate, and fear. Or, in other words, the Democrats. Well, Bernie Sanders was interviewed on CBS on 60 Minutes, where he came out and he said, you know, you can't say Fidel Castro, socialist Cuba, is all bad, because why? When he first took power, the first thing he did was create a massive literacy program. So Sanders went on to defend Castro and the whole thing that's going on over there. And the problem is that this so-called literacy, God, I got my nose fixed, now my lips don't work. Literacy program. All it was an indoctrination program to make sure everybody there could read the communist indoctrination that he was pumping out. And I'm sure Bernie wants to do the same thing. Both make sure everybody's literate and, well, pump out socialist and communist indoctrination. Sanders, and here's another thing you can tell, that you look and you go, well, you know what? I want to vote for this guy because a top Muslim political action committee is backing Sanders. Or what is this, Muslim America? I don't even know what it is. It's just a bunch of these invaders. They you know what it is they're looking for the person who could be the most effective in the destruction of the United States, and they're going to back him. Okay, so I think I love watching the debates with the Democrats. They try and out-commie each other. They attack each other. They yell at each other. They threaten each other. They embarrass and insult each other. It's cute. It's fun. So they're having what's known as Super Tuesday. Super Tuesday is where a bunch of states get to vote on who they want to be their nomination to go against Trump. Usually, like Saturday was South Carolina voted, and then last week something else, and before that was another one. Well, now a bunch of these states got together and said, let's have major voting on one day. Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Massachusetts, Minnesota. You know, I'm looking at all of these, and every single one of them is a Democrat state. Every single one of them is a state full of communists. There might be one or two Americans in there, but the rest of them are commies. Alabama, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, and Virginia. They're all casting votes on Tuesday. So come Wednesday, March 4th, I guarantee you a minimum of two of these Democrats who think they were God's gift to the United States are going to be dropping out. At least two. So these are called battleground states. And Biden has already come out and said, if I don't get it, then I'm out of here. Well, he already said, if I don't get it in the South Carolina vote, I'm out of here. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't know. Let's see. There was a reporter, Project Veritas. They go undercover and they record the anti-American communistic destructive people in the United States and or Democrats. They record them saying things that are evil and corrosive and destructive. And they recorded this one ABC reporter, David Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, ABC. They recorded him talking about how ABC does not care about truth in the reporting. They don't care about that. They have their own agenda. Don't give Trump any credit for anything. They will say, here's what, they will say, well, Trump said I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and nobody would care. They will say that. But they won't say that anything that Trump has done in any way, shape, or form. So this reporter was recorded saying that, and saying that, yes, I'm a socialist, and we work with communists here and all of that. Well, ABC fired the guy. Different word, suspended him. Yeah, let's see. A top girls' school. The key word here, girls' school. And this is in the UK, of course. They banned the address, the word girls, to avoid causing offense to transvestite students who may feel offended by the gendered language. Girls' school. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Isn't a girl a female? So if these are all females there, why would they care? If you put a transvestite, which is a male that pretends he's female, if you put a transvestite into an all-girl school, wouldn't he be considered a girl too? Anyway, so this school has decided that they're not going to use the word girl in there because it offends the sexual psychotics amongst them. You know, millennials, Gen Z, you know why they're called Gen Z, Generation Z? Is because they are so damn stupid that there is not going to be any generation after them. So they're the last. So anyway, things happen on social media. You know, they get these contests. What was that one? How many soap pods can you eat before you vomit? Or how much cinnamon can you eat before you vomit? I mean, just stupid things. Now they got something, and people are having to warn. They're having to warn children about this. Don't take a knife and stab it in your eye. I mean, why would you have to warn somebody about that? This is called the Killer Jump Trip Challenge. Challenge. So far, two kids have died from it. It's where somebody tricks you into jumping up in the air, and then two people, one on each side of you, kick your feet out from underneath of you so you land on the back of your spine or your head. So you automatically are going to have a concussion. And two have died so far. Do you believe that people are so stupid that they actually have to be? Well, of course, you believe it. I was a master gunsmith for 25 years, and we sold guns. Ruger came out, and I had a picture of this for years. 357 Magnum revolver with a 4-inch barrel. On the side of the barrel was engraved, warning, do not put muzzle in mouth. What the hell is going on to where you have to warn people not to do that? Now, okay, so Scotland. Scotland used to be famous for patriotism and individualism and ruggedness. So one of the ministers of Scotland invited a transvestite drag queen to a primary school where the drag queen read a story to the kids as young as four. And this drag queen is a pervert, and the pervert is well known in the area as being a pervert and a disgusting creature. And the parents are complaining about it, and this prime minister is saying, you know what, you guys are just homophobic. And this is Scotland. Well, here's something for the rest of the world. I think I mentioned this before. You know, Disney has gone 100% pervert. In all of their movies, they're going to have lesbians or homos. It's pure sexual perversion in all of their movies from now on. And they actually have a movie called Onward, which is going to be an animated character, which is a lesbian. Our children are being indoctrinated into sexual perversion. It's not a natural thing. It's not like a disease, you know? It's they're being trained into it. They're being indoctrinated into it. And we're allowing it. Well, not all of us. The Muslim nations aren't, because they abhor it. So they're doing everything they can to fight against it. Do you know what Reddit is? Reddit is a messaging thing. It's a thing like Twitter or Facebook. And they have different forums on there where you can go and talk about it, about different things. I mean, you want to talk about chlorophyll. Well, there's a whole forum for chlorophyll. You want to talk about wood cutting. There's a whole forum for that. Or guns. Or underwear. Or anything. And there's a whole forum called The Donald. The Donald is about The Donald. About Trump. It is the largest forum on Reddit. R-E-D-D-I-T. Reddit is owned and controlled by some communists. They know which side of the bread gets buttered, so that's why they started Reddit. These guys are pure communists, and they're so afraid that Trump's going to get reelected that they have canceled the Donald. They've shut it down, and they claim that they're looking for new monitors for the Donald because the old monitors were in violation of their guidelines. So in other words, they don't want anybody posting anything positive about Donald Trump on Reddit, and they're actually going to put in or try and put in some monitors who work for them, who will ban everybody who talks good things about Donald Trump. That's not being censored, is it? Is it? Yeah. Well, maybe. Did you know white lives don't matter? There's posters going up all over town. It's okay to hate white people. Racism doesn't... Let's see. How does this say? One of these posters, white lives don't matter. And the other says, it's okay to hate white people. Racism against whites doesn't exist. So you have some black racists putting these up all over these Canadian towns. You hear anything about it? Anything in the media? One guy in the middle of New York City on a dumpster duct tapes up a little banner four inches by four inches that says black lives don't matter or white lives matter. And the media goes crazy all over the world. Yeah. Okay. Well, in Missouri, there is a positive possibility coming up here. And I've talked about that transvestites have gotten into athletics, especially in high school. So you get this transvestite. And what is a transvestite? Again, we're going to go to this. This is a boy or a man or a male, let's just put it that way, that wants to pretend it's a female. So they'll take hormone blockers and other drugs so that they can grow boobs. And then they dress like a female. And then they go and they join the female athletic team, track team, wrestling team, swimming team. They're males with the strength of males, but they get to contend on a level with the females. So in Missouri, they're considering, and I don't understand the concept of considering, it should be done, restricting transgender. Now, when they say transgender, they mean transvestite high school athletes to teams of their birth gender. You know, the older I get and the more of this weird crap I see, the funnier it gets. Let's see, we're under the government threat, and there's only a couple things under here. Oh, Arkansas police officers have offered, they did, it's a public service, is they're offering. They're offering to test your meth for the coronavirus. Just take it to their office, any of their precincts, and they'll test your meth for free. No strings, but they'll test your meth for free. Okay. Now, the feds, the deep state, are backing off on jailing Michael Flynn right now because they're finding, and I quote, stunning new evidence that the government lied and framed him. It's not new evidence. Every newspaper in the world knew this and posted it. So it was a 27-page filing from his attorney that and it named all of the different things that they're coming out with now that it proved that the FBI went after him on purpose and lied and framed him. We'll see what happens with that. Either way, every one of these people that worked for Trump that got illegally arrested and charged with all kinds of weird made up crap, I think they're all going to be fine. Speaking of Trump, do you know that he has flipped the Ninth Circuit? The Ninth Circuit Court. The Ninth Circuit Court is world known for being the most liberal court around, and every communist, socialist, or Democrat that wants to sue somebody or bring a case to trial or bring a case to the Supreme Court or the two courts will look for the Ninth Circuit Court and get it in there. So Trump has put 10 judges on the Ninth Circuit, but that's only a third of its active judges. So he's still working on it. He's still got more time, and he's put in hundreds of judges. Now, something went through this week, and they're trying to keep it real quiet. Everything that Trump does that's of benefit of America, the mainstream media will not talk to you about. So I got a link from the Department of Homeland Security, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. It's a public charge. Inadmissibility on public charge grounds final rule. And what they're talking about, and I'm not going to read this thing. Good Lord, this is big. Trump made a ruling. Now, there's nothing special and nothing out of the ordinary. But basically what he said was anybody who wants to become immigrate to the United States has to prove that they have, that there's a reason for them to be here. Do they have a job? Do they have enough money to pay for their living? Do they have an income source? Are they healthy? The standard stuff that we've been requiring for hundreds of years. Well, this is, it's really got a lot of the Democrats pissed off because they don't want people in the United States that can stand on their own two feet. Now, if you come in, and this was approved by the Supreme Court. Now, if you come in, if you want to be an immigrant to the United States, you have to have an income, or you have to have enough money to survive. You have to be healthy. You have to not be a communist. You have to not be a problem, like a felon or a criminal. I'll have a link to this thing, and you can read it if you want. Under it, it says, self-sufficiency has long been a basic principle of U.S. immigration law since our nation's earliest immigration statutes. Okay, and then it goes from there. But basically what it is it's saying that we don't want people that are coming into the United States that are going to instantly start getting welfare. We don't want that anymore. We can't afford it. And of course, that's, again, that's not what the Democrats want. They want people who want to be victims continuously. We had a new attempt at another criminal coup from the Democrats. Some guy who, I'm not sure who it was exactly, went to that pile of Schiff and said that, okay, so we found that the Russians are helping Trump to get reelected again, and he's working with them. I mean, they started the whole thing over again. Okay, so instantly, Pompeo started to investigate it and talked to everybody involved and said, and they all said the same thing. Oh no, well, there's nothing there. And all the Democrats are saying this. He overstated the intelligence. This is why Trump has ordered Pompeo to clean out the intelligence agencies. Something, and I watched this today. The U.S. just signed a peace deal with the Taliban, which means nothing because they're Muslim. And one of the tenets of Islam is called taqiyya. Taqiyya is the ability and the willingness to lie as long as that lie will support and promote Islam. So, U.S. signs historic peace deal with Taliban. Pompeo strikes cautious tone. Yes, he understands that. So they signed, and they said basically that you guys stop killing us, and we'll stop killing you, and we'll see what happens. Trump was asked today. He said he was in an interview, and they said, "Can you tell us when are you going to start bringing our soldiers home?" And he goes, "What time is it? We're going to start bringing them home today." So we'll see what happens, but that could end the 18-year-old war that King George Bush II started in Afghanistan for no freaking reason whatsoever. So we'll see what happens, but we can't continue. I mean, if we're going to go and fight Muslims, then we have to really do it right. And the United States has not won a war or a police action since 1945 because of politics. Our political leaders will not allow the military to win a war. All they want to do is, I don't know, make sure that the economy keeps running. Now, maybe we'll be lucky and this economy will die, the New York Times. Because of the libel and fraud and lies that the New York Times did against Trump personally over this so-called Russia conspiracy, he said, you know what, I'm done talking, I'm suing him. Now, the article doesn't say how much he's going to sue him for, but I bet it's going to be like, you know, $100 or $200 million. Okay. Now I have a few items here. Now, this is just on the rumor line. This is just, there's nothing, I can't verify it yet, but it's strong enough that I need to tell everybody about it. The first one is Palestinian President Mohammed Abbas died. I have no more data than that. The second one is the Iran President Hassan Rouhani and Head of National Security Mojtaba Dulnur are both infected with the Wuhan virus. So again, this is on the rumor line. I don't have verification, and I'm always going to tell you that, that if I don't have verification, this is something that I just want to break the news. I go on the dark web. I find areas that most people aren't going to go to, and I find news that pops up. It's like a warning. It's like a janitor in the house next door sees the ambulance come and haul this body away and hears that somebody said, yeah, it's Mohammed Abbas just died. Okay, so the Palestinian president, according to rumors, died. And the Iranian president and the head of national security are both infected with the Wuhan virus. In Iran, there are, from what I can gather and from what we can piece together from the data, that there are well over 1,000 people infected and almost 500 people have died so far. We don't know. We don't know. This is all conjecture, and I'm just pulling numbers out of the air, so to speak, unfortunately. Now, I want to extrapolate on a couple of the products that I've mentioned already, the oregano oil and the colloidal silver. If you go to se1.us, that's our site for the store. And you'll see on the left-hand side, home, site map, how to buy from us, about us, healthcare, personal care, all of this stuff. Click on healthcare. And that basically takes you to the main page of all the oddball stuff that we sell, you know, the health stuff, you know, everything from beta carotene all the way down to, what is this? Oh, to Unkers, which is a topical antibiotic. Well, see, it is an antibiotic, but it's also a topical painkiller. It's astounding, too. But what we want to talk about is the oregano oil, because that's the main thing. The oregano oil, ours comes from Turkey, and it is extremely strong. It will burn you. If you got a drop of this, oh, let me give you an idea. And I know I have customers that are going to say, yep, I know, I remember that. I had a guy call us on the phone one time, and he goes, all right, I want to buy some of your oregano oil. It's the best price in the world. I said, yes, sir. Have you ever used undiluted pure oregano oil? He goes, look, I know everything about it. I don't need you to tell me anything. Okay, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, fine. Took his order, sent him a bottle of this with a flyer that has the instructions on it. About a week later, I get a phone call, and all I hear is some guy. I'm like, what the? Hello? Are you okay? And I'm looking up the number, looking real quick, seeing what number it is. I can call 911. And then he starts laughing. And I go, who is this? And he tells me his name. And then he laughs some more. And he goes, you know, I should have listened to you. He took a drop of the oregano oil. And I mean a single. And put it on top of his tongue. That's how strong this stuff is. So you internally, you dilute it well. And you swallow it. And it builds up your immune system and fights off pathogen like you wouldn't frickin' believe. It is one of the items that we sell that can be classified as magic. You can also use it straight. If you have moles, skin tags, we've had people use it on melanoma. We had a guy use it on his nose. He had a spot the size of a pea on his nose, and it took about a month and a half, and it just dissolved it. And you can breathe it, and this is one of the points. Now, the instructions are all there. If you go to again, healthcare, and then you click on oregano, and it'll take you there. And as you scroll down, there'll be a couple links, history and research, and how to use. Well, you're going to click on a how to use. acne or other skin problems. When we first got this stuff, see, everything we sell at Survival Enterprises, we've tested extensively on ourselves. My son wanted to test it to see how well it worked on acne. He had like, oh, I don't know, 30 or 40 little pimples on his face. So he washed his face one night and said, okay, now take a Q-tip and put some of this on me. This is the first bottle we ever tested. So we put a dab on each one of his spots. And I go, how's it doing? He goes, well, it's starting to feel warm. And then for an hour, he was in tears because it hurt so bad. It just stung so bad. It was astounding. Now, for the next week, his face looked like somebody smacked him with some running shoes. But after a couple weeks, his face cleared up, and that was the end of his acne. It never came back. Either it cured it or it scared it. I'm not sure which. It can be used to treat dandruff and scalp disorders. Now, this is tricky. You would take like 8 ounces of a shampoo, and you mix maybe 20 drops of the oregano oil in it. And then you stir it up really well, and you put it on your hair. You shampoo your hair, let it sit on there for a minute or two, and then you rinse it off. Now, while you're doing this, you've got to remember something. That's oregano oil. It's very strong. Keep your eyes shut. And if you rinse it down into your pubic area, you'll know it. So be careful of that. This ends poison oak and poison ivy, doing the same thing. You get that poison oak, poison ivy, you put a few drops in the pump soap, and then you use it to wash it with, boom, done. Gingivitis, gum disease, brush your teeth, put your toothpaste on your toothbrush, and put a drop of the diluted version of this oregano oil on there. Some people use the straight, just one drop on there, and brush your teeth with it. Brush your gums, brush your tongue, roof of your mouth, under your tongue, cheeks, I mean, everywhere. It will kill it. Warts and boils. Now, I have done it myself. I had a boil, and I simply, I made a hot poultice, and I put it on and drew it to a head. And then I took a round dot about an inch in diameter of a pad, and I coated it with oregano oil. I mean, soaked it, put it on the boil, and then put a pad over the top of that, and I left it on for 3 days. The end of 3 days, the boil was almost gone. Now, my wife has used it for earaches. Make sure you dilute it, please. Now, if you have an earache, the first thing you want to do is clean your ear with hydrogen peroxide. Now, this is unless you have a hole in your ear, in your eardrum. But what you do is you clean your ear with hydrogen peroxide. You lay on your side, and you take a cotton ball with hydrogen peroxide in it, and you squeeze it into your ear. It'll be cold, and then you got to wiggle your ear for it to drop down. It drops down into the channel, and you will feel it starting to bubble. The more pathogen you have in your ear, and the more earwax you have in it, because this does clean out earwax, the more it bubbles. Just man up and let it bubble, and after about 5 minutes, take a wash rag, dry one, put it on your ear, lean over and drain everything out, and then do the other ear. And do it twice. Then you take a Q-tip with a diluted oregano oil on it, and you carefully put it in there, real carefully, and twist it around so you coat the inside. That will kill any bacteria in your ear. No ifs, ands, or buts. Now, here's another thing, is sore throat or cold and flu symptoms. This is the normal way you take oregano oil internally, is you would buy a secondary eyedropper bottle. Say you get a one ounce eyedropper bottle, which we sell also. You put a quarter inch of oregano oil in there, and then fill it up with extra virgin olive oil. I say extra virgin because extra virgin doesn't go rancid. Normal olive oil will. So you're cutting it about 5 to 1, 4 to 1, something like that. And you would take a third to a half an eyedropper under your tongue, let it sit for about 10 seconds, and then drink it down with a little bit of water. Now, under your tongue is a sublingual glands, so they will absorb most of this stuff. Also, you have no pain sensors under there, so it's not going to hurt you or burn you. When you're putting it under your tongue, don't do like I do and turn at the last minute because it'll drip down your lip into your beard, and then it hurts. It burns. So just look in a mirror, put it under your tongue, let it sit, drink it down. That's a standard procedure. If you have a sore throat or cold and flu symptoms, you don't just instantly swallow it down. So you put it on your tongue. After a few seconds, you take a little bit of water, and then you swish it around your mouth and you gargle with it. To the degree you have pathogenic activity in the back of your throat, to that degree it's going to burn. But it will kill everything there. So normally you just put it under your tongue, give it a few seconds, drink it down. Sore throat or cold and flu symptoms, under your tongue, few seconds, mouth, a little bit of water in your mouth, like, you know, an ounce, swish it around, gargle with it, then swallow it down. Now, this is another part of it for if you think you might have some kind of a viral lung infection, respiratory infection, any kind respiratory infection, you would take a coffee cup. You're going to breathe the steam from this. You're going to take a coffee cup half full of boiling water. I don't care what kind of cup you use. I've used a quart pot. Coffee cup half full of boiling water. You put one or two drops of the diluted mixture in there. You don't need to stir it. You do not use the straight mixture. I've only met two people, my son is one, who can do this with the straight mixture. You don't need to do that. So you just take half a coffee cup of boiling water, about two drops of the mixture in there, close your eyes, cover your head with a towel, bend over, and breathe in the steam. In your nose, out your mouth. In your mouth, out your nose. What you're doing is you're coating your whole respiratory tract with the oregano oil. The first breath you take, you're going to cough and gag. That's just the way it is. I'm sorry. But the first breath, you're going to cough and gag. So you just go for it and do it. And you do it for about 5 minutes or until the water's cold. And you can do that twice a day. But this is what I have done so many times. And I've had people who have stuffed up noses. I can tell you right now, this is going to clear your nose out. If you have sinusitis, if you have an infection in your sinus cavity, you want to remember, breathe through the mouth, out the nose, through the nose, out the mouth. It's going to get in there and it's going to kill those buggers. So the oregano oil has many uses and it's very, very strong. I really want you to respect this stuff. We've had people get it in the wrong areas, and the only thing that stops the pain is time. Because you're not going to wipe it up. You're not going to wash it off. And by the way, if you ever do get it on something that you don't want it on, don't use hot water, because hot water opens the pores up and things, you know, get in there faster. So wash with cold water with a lot of soap. You can also try vinegar. I had a customer who spilled it on his neck. He had a melanoma on the right side hand side of his neck, the size of a marble, and he was coating it with straight oregano oil, which stung like hell. Eventually, after about a month, it burned it and it killed it. God, I haven't. He moved out of the country, so I haven't heard from him since. But it worked. But he accidentally spilled it on his throat, and if you're a man and you've shaved, you know your throat is a mucous membrane and it's very sensitive. It burned him. He was really upset with that. Now, if you have a wart, you clean the wart. Now, of course, what I did was, when I was a kid, it was really gross. I'd take a toothbrush and borax, and I'd scrub my wart. And then Grandpa would take, he had oregano oil, and he would take it and put a couple drops right in the wart, on the wart, and then he put a DOT Band-Aid on there. And he said, you just leave that on there until I take it off. And usually it stayed on about a week. And when he finally took it off, the wart came off with it. So there's many different things you can use oregano oil for. You go to SE1.us, health, on the left-hand side, and scroll down, find oregano oil, and go read about it. See, what happens is you take data. And it's not just from this, it's from everything in your life, everywhere you've gone. You walk down the street, you're accumulating facts, you're accumulating information. And you will take that data. And at some time in the future, a circumstance will arise, and you will take the data that you've accumulated, and you will extrapolate it to that situation and be able to use it to benefit you or someone around you. You know, that's what I mean, right? So you pay attention to this stuff, you read this stuff, now you have the data. The oregano oil is something that everybody should be on, no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you buy it either. Obviously, I want you to buy it from me, but I don't care where you buy it. You need to have oregano oil, and you need to be taking it on a daily basis. Life is too dangerous right now to not defend yourself as best as you can. If you go into a health food store, you will find numerous kinds of oregano oil in there, and you will find many different mixtures of it, and most of it, in fact, 99.9% of it, is going to be diluted. Ours is not diluted. Ours is straight from Turkey. It is 100% pure. You cannot take it straight. You have to dilute it. So in other words, you spend $25 with me, and I haven't changed the price on this in 20 years. You spend $25 with me, this bottle can be cut 5 times. So you're going to have 5 times the amount that you bought just by diluting it properly. Now, we also have... Now, this is taken sublingually, right? So it goes in under your tongue, goes directly into your bloodstream, and then you swallow a little bit of it, so it goes into your stomach and your intestinal tract. Not much of it, though. Now, if you have intestinal problems like parasites or bacteria or candida, we have gel caps that are enteric coated, so they will not open up until they're in their intestines, and you take those, and it kills off all the bugs down there. So there's different application for this stuff. All right, now I want to talk about the colloidal silver. Again, you go back to the SE1.us, health, scroll down, and you will see all these different links, and you just look down, colloidal silver. Silver is known, has been known for thousands and thousands of years as an antimicrobial. It also kept water sources from gathering algae and bacteria and viruses. My grandma told me about this, and I didn't quite understand it, but her grandmother, when they traveled from one state to another, they had a wagon, and they had a 50-gallon water barrel strapped to the side of the wagon, and that was where they got their water. And she said, my grandma put all her silver in it. And I said, why would she do that? And grandma goes, well, 2 reasons. One, they didn't have to worry about any bacteria or algae growing in that barrel because it's on the outside of a wagon. And it has a top on it, but still it gets hot as hell. And I said, well, what was the other reason? She goes, well, because if they were robbed, most robbers wouldn't think to look in a barrel. So they kept all their silver in there, and their gold for that matter. They kept everything, all their money in there. Because in those days, they didn't have paper bills. It was coins, copper, gold, silver. All right, so silver has been used for 1,000 years or longer. The Egyptians used it also as an antimicrobial. What colloidal silver is microscopic or atomic-sized particles of silver immersed in a liquid. And in this case, it's distilled water. So colloidal means, in Latin, in liquid suspension. So colloidal silver, that's basically it, okay? Colloidal silver kills pathogen on contact. This is the key thing. On contact. If it can't get to it, well, it's not going to kill it. Like, I went to a Chinese restaurant, ate food, got poisoned. I took 2 ounces of colloidal silver, drank it down. It killed the pathogen within minutes. So the thing is this. The colloidal silver kills bacteria, virus, fungus on contact. You need to carry the colloidal silver in a spritzer bottle. Now, we have the spritzer bottles, and I just got in a couple dozen of the nose sprayers. Now, if you have sinusitis, If you have problems in your nose, you put the colloidal silver in a nose bottle. You know, you buy these nose sprayers. Anyway, and you spray it up your nose. Oh, it's going to be cold as you could not believe how cold this stuff is. Just like putting any other nose spray up your nose, lay on the bed, tip your head back, let it drain down there. It'll kill anything that's up there. Don't even worry about that. But you keep yourself dosed down. You spray your hands, you spray your face. If you go to into an area where you think that you might be contaminated with anything, or you go someplace where it's smoky and your eyes are burning, well, you just spray some of the colloidal silver in your eyes. Then done. So you read the articles on the website. You learn what these tools can do. The oregano oil and the colloidal silver are the two most powerful antimicrobials that I can even imagine using. And then, you know, I told you about the ultimate immune booster, which is stronger than Cipro, more effective than Cipro. So all of these things that I told you about, again, I don't care if you buy them from us, just as long as you buy them and use them. And at this stage of the game, you don't want to be caught unarmed in a battle between you and this virus. Well, I got to get going. So let's see. Anything else we got to cover up? Nah, nothing else. I just hope you all listened to what I was saying. I hope you understood what that doctor was saying. I hope you gathered some ideas of what you can do to protect yourself. And you have to find the difference between going crazy and freaking out and doing nothing. That's the problem. Too many people will do nothing. And then on the other hand, too many people will go crazy and get really, really concerned. You know, if it's, and I don't want to sound apathetic, but if your time's up, your time's up. If you're going to get this virus, okay. You can, if you do get it, you can say, I did everything I could. That's the thing. You don't want to do the what ifs. You don't want to afterwards go, you know, what if I had actually listened to him and gone and bought, like, you know, 10 cans of peanut butter or tuna or whatever and put it aside. Then we'd have something to eat and not have to go out and go shopping. I got to tell you there, I get videos, I get recordings you don't want to hear. You know, I told you about in Wuhan that the police were going door to door, welding the doors shut of apartment buildings that had people in there who were sick. I have two recordings. I was going to play them, and then I can't. I couldn't play them. All you heard was people wailing and crying and yelling and screaming in the middle of the night. Thousands and thousands of them, because they can't get out to get food. And there's no food coming. The communist government are just like every other communist socialist government. They don't care about their people. They let them die. I can tell you this, within 6 months, Wuhan's going to be a city of the dead. And it's not 6 months. These people are starving. They can't get food. They're screaming and crying in the middle of the night. I don't want any of us to have to go through that. And that's what's happening there. And there are people scared because they got sick and now they don't know if they're going to die or not. That's why I'm here, is to help you get as much ammunition as you can to protect yourself as best as I know how. So it's all up to you. Anyway, this is Kurt Wilson, the Armchair Survivalist. You keep your nose in the air and your ear to the ground. And if you can keep your nose in the air, put a filter on it. I'll see you next week.